أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I know it's late and everybody is probably tired. So inshallah, I'll try to sort of talk about essence of what we're saying, because there is a lot could be said about this conference. But what I was actually saying was regarding that we eventually in the European caucus arranged ourselves, organized ourselves, and we went to a meeting. We called a meeting of all the European caucus members, and we went in that meeting and we told those, we were addressing them as sort of the white representatives of the caucus, but we all knew who they were. You know, they're all the Zionist organization, being led by the representative of Ronimi Trust, which, you know, they've done the Islamophobia Commission, and they're behind that. And what we managed to force them not to give out that press release, and we forced them to accept that overwhelming majority of us actually don't want anything to be changed from the declaration, and we want that declaration to go forward. Having said that, Mary Robinson, who for many of us we have thought of her as a champion of justice and so forth, she actually came out not to the forum, but she went to the press saying that she's not going to, first of all, accept this, and secondly, she said she will accept the declaration, but she is not going to recommend it to the governmental section. And this is the first time in the history of UN that the NGO declaration have not been sort of recommended by the someone in her position. And there was a number of clashes between her and the organizers and campaigners. And on one occasion, I was witness of one of our sisters actually called her fascist when she was walking down the corridor. And she was very shocked. She turned around and she was called again. She was told again that she's a fascist. Because here is people who actually talk about democracy and following procedures. All these NGOs coming together and putting a declaration together and presenting it to her. And she's saying she won't accept it. Why? Because I said to you beforehand that you cannot talk about Zionism equals racism. I.e., you could come to this conference, you could spend hundreds and thousands of pounds and millions of pounds to come organize yourself, but you've got to make decisions there according to her wishes. And, you know, obviously, by anyone's definition, that's the fascist ideology. And a number of other things happened at that time. We were, as I said, we were all walking around with these T-shirts supporting Palestinians. And it wasn't just Palestinians or Muslims. It was just about everybody was worrying them. People from India, people from Africa, from the United States, everywhere, wearing these T-shirts. A number of things happened. One ordinary African young man was beaten up and his arm was broken outside the NGO forum and outside in the main streets by a group of whites because he was wearing one of these T-shirts. Now, your guess is as good as mine who the white people were who went and beat up this innocent child, but no proof, but I think we could sort of think where this thing, sorry. Okay. I'm sorry, I just told that in 10 minutes I'm going to take a short break here. And because of this bombing has been taking place, we got a lot of interest from the media to actually interview and so forth. So for 10 minutes, in 10 minutes time, I have to actually leave for a very short time. I'm sorry, all these interventions in the middle of our talk. But basically what it was this also led to a number of other things. I mean, the security actually came and told us they're worried for our safety. And they were coming and supporting us by walking us into the taxis and so forth and so on. You know, they were actually very concerned. And then the security of UN started becoming very sort of fascist in many ways. These t-shirts suddenly became illegal to wear them, you know. So when we wanted to enter the compounds, we were being told that we can't go with these t-shirts by the security. And we were saying, why, is there a security risk, you know, wearing a t-shirt? And they were saying, yes, but you can't. So why not? It's not going to go bang, you know. I mean, these t-shirts are just cotton, you know. And they were saying that, well, it's provocative. I said, what is provocative on it? I mean, and one of the head of the security of UN, which I was arguing with, he said, he says, free Palestine. I said, well, so many UN resolutions says free Palestine. He said, no, it's political. I said, well, this is heads of all the states, and I mean, this is the politicians I've gathered here. I mean, are you saying that we cannot be political in something like this? Anyway, they didn't have much, and one of the brothers who was from our team is a barrister. He said, well, you're saying I can't go in like this? He said, no. So he took his t-shirt off, and he said, no, can I go in? You just trousers. And the guy said, no, please, could you put it back on? You go in, but from tomorrow I'm not going to let you in like this. But there was a lot of intimidation like that. I mean, but alhamdulillah, what was very clear is that there was a direct separation I saw there between those who want to support justice and those who oppose this. And you could see who stands on which side. I mean, you even had people which we didn't think will take the side of injustice, like Mary Robinson, standing on that side. And then you had ordinary people from NGOs from all over different backgrounds, including the rabbis, standing on the side of justice. There were many interviews and press conferences that we took with the rabbis. And on one of those occasions, there were many representatives of press from all over the world, and they were asking different questions. And they asked us, what do we see the future and so forth. And I mean, in many ways, you won't be interested in what I was saying, because you know what sort of background I have or what my opinions are. But let me tell you what the rabbi said. You know, they asked the rabbi, they said, what is the solution for Palestine? And he said that the total dismantlement of the state of Israel and everything to be given, every inch of the land being given to Palestinians. And the guy said, well, how could you say that? Don't you think they're going to massacre you? He said, no, we lived together for generations. It was only the Zionists who created this conflict between us. And those hardcore Zionists have to leave. They come as a troublemakers, they have to go. And I'm sure the Palestinians would allow the rest of us to stay and live with them as we have in the past. And then they asked him, one of the reporters was being very hostile, I don't know why, said that these guys are Muslim fundamentalists and they promote Islamic State. You have come with them. Do you also want Islamic State in Palestine or in Israel? And he turned around and said, we don't want to choose any state, except you're saying it should not be a Jewish state. It should be a Palestinian state. We don't want to have a choice. It's up to them what sort of state they want. But if it's an Islamic state, we will prefer it than a secular state. And that actually annoyed many of things. And you know, afterward, I was talking to the rabbi. I said, you know, you said this, you know, why, how come? He said, the concept of morality, the concept of justice, and the concept of we don't want to live in a secular state. You know, in many ways, they were like us. You know, we're going to the BBC and you know, CNN and everything doing interviews. And, you know, ladies were coming to shake hands. And the rabbi was saying, no, I'm sorry, we don't shake hands with ladies. And then, you know, the same way that we, you know, we find that we're very, very similar, you know. When you know, many things. We became actually very, very good friends, to the extent that when I got here, and 2 days later this thing happened in the United States, I actually phoned the rabbis, because they live in New York, first, and find out if them and their family are fine, which I was told that they were fine. And then I phoned my own family in the United States. I was wondering why I called the rabbis first. It's because we became so close, really very close to each other. And really, the whole thing was a testimony that there isn't anything inherently between us and them. And the Jewish community, except those who are Zionists, and they don't want to accept the concept of justice, and they are being unjust. And I saw many things, many things from the rabbis, which convinced me that you know, of the ayahs that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala said, there are among them people who are just and who see. And it actually sort of, it's really nice, it's really refreshing to actually see that. And on one occasion, when we were giving these talks, one night, me and Rabbi were giving a talk, and then the host announced that there is somebody special who's gonna come in a few minutes time. And then I saw the brother came, he was, the father of Muhammad al-Dara, you know, the little child who was shot and killed, and he himself was shot and wounded badly. He came in and he gave a very moving talk. And then Rabbi Wise actually got up. He actually took the mic, and he said, I want you to translate this for this brother. And he said that, I'd like to apologize to you. Not because we were involved in the atrocities which were committed against you and your son, but because those who committed this were people who have gone astray from our religion and have done this, and have done it in the name of our religion. I also like to apologize, knowing that my apology will mean nothing to you, and in comparison to the atrocities and the things that you have had to go through and you have faced, but I still have to do it for my own sanity. And that was translated, and then it was really moving. And the two actually came, shook hands, and they embraced each other and they hugged each other. And the next day, that was the actually the sort of in all the main papers, as you can see, Muhammad Dara's father hugging one of the rabbis, and the statement was made that, you know, once you remove Zionism, then people could come together. And these events actually was lot more than, and it was lot much more meaningful than all the talks and so forth which was being done inside the hall, assembly hall. And alhamdulillah, they were getting much more publicity also than what was being said inside the assembly hall by the heads of the states. As a whole, I have to say that before we left, I was expecting that inshallah we will go and we'll do our best. But I wasn't expecting that we actually could do so much and achieve so much as it was done. And I think, first of all, we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. But also really shows that when you are determined to do something and you actually go and then put your efforts in, and then you rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for support, what could happen? I have to say that 3 or 4 times before we went, we almost cancelled the meeting going because of number of things, including the problem we had with resources. We took a team of 12 people with us. Many of them paid for themselves going, and you know, you know, this people give their time and actually give their money and so forth. And I remember one of the brothers who's a barrister, I'm sure he doesn't mind me saying this, he actually said, how come I'm paying, why not everybody else paying? I said, you're lucky you're not paying for somebody else as well, because you could afford it and so forth. And you know, he was joking, he was laughing, he said, yes, alhamdulillah, you know. And it was really that sort of a spirit, you know. We were there not challenging just this, but challenging other injustices. On one of those private meetings with a governmental representative, one of the ministers from Britain came and she attended this private meeting with NGOs. And one of our brothers was a barrister. He got up and we were discussing the issue of compensation for slavery. And the brother got up and said, why are you so opposing this when you have already supported giving finance or giving compensation for the Jewish community from what the Nazis did? And he said, is this the fact that this is because that money wasn't coming out of your own pocket and was coming out of other people's pocket, and that's why you were supporting it? And if that's the case, you should recognize that you have made millions out of slavery. You have stolen these people's diamond, gold, etc., etc. And this is really about time that you should be paying this. And you know, when he said that, all the Afro-Caribbeans in that sort of meeting were cheering and clapping for him. So it wasn't the fact that we were there just standing for justice of what it was happening to our own community. We were there as a sort of witnesses against injustice that is happening to everyone, which included the caste system in India and so forth. We were very supportive. And it really created a great bond that to the extent that American delegation, NGO delegation, approached the government, approached the UN, saying that now that their government has pulled out, they should take that seat of a governmental seat as NGOs and actually carry on. And that there was that sort of a spirit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the opportunity for this. I think, inshallah, there is many more things I could tell you about what happened, because it was a very fruitful and very interesting thing. There were many sort of great meetings and massages and so forth, you know, with 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people, and we were giving talks and so on. And there were many things happened. But I have to say that the spirit that we went for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we didn't, there were a number of times which we were a bit worried about our own safety and security. And our more than anything, our South African Muslim brothers were very worried, more so than we were worried. And on one occasion, some of the brothers in a meeting turned around and said, aren't you worried? And at that time I was very emotional. I was dealing with a number of other issues that was raised, and I actually, something came out of my heart, and I said that, and I really believe that. I said to the brother that, you know, the worst thing that they could do to us is to kill us. And from our belief, that is the best thing that could happen to us in any case. So their worst is actually the best thing that could happen to us. So I don't think we need to really worry about something like this. We need to sort of just be focused and move forward and try to do things according to sort of within the bounds of our deen and sharia, and stand for justice, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help all of us to do that, because that's a responsibility on all of us. And we are thankful that we have been given an opportunity in this conference, and we hope that in future we could do many of these things collectively, all of us together, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I don't know, is there any question or answer before this interview comes on? Yes.
What happened after the NGO? How did the Durban conflict continue?
Well, it went downhill. Basically, what happened was they couldn't decide. There was two camps. They weren't going to compromise, and eventually South African government started putting pressure, saying that it's going to be complete failure and it's better to go away with something than rather nothing. And then most of these things were thrown out of at that stage. But I think it really is a shame that we came and these things happened, because there's still a lot of mileage in that, and inshallah we will go back to this. I mean, in many ways, many of us are shocked of what has happened and affected by that. And it's going to take some time now, the bombing has started and so forth. But that achievements of that conference, the NGO forum declaration, all the NGOs have given sort of commitment that they will carry that on forward. And we need to do that. I mean, that really is the next step of the thing. And for ourselves, we are inshallah going to have all our papers sort of published as a booklet, and then that will be the basis of actually promoting and sending the message further and further. Inshallah, we would have a report on all these things, and but we just haven't had the time yet to do it. And once that's done, inshallah, will be sent to everybody as well. Oh, sorry, before I forget, there is a lot of concern over the issue of what is happening in Afghanistan and what happened in the United States. There is a lot of confusion, and we are not getting really any guidance, proper guidance from our own community leaders and so forth. There's been a sort of a bit of lack of that, we have felt. And what we, to that extent, we have actually organized a seminar conference next Sunday. It will be at Bromsberry Park Hotel at 1:30 until 6 o'clock. I will recommend all of you to come and also let as many people know, because it's important for us to actually sit down, discuss this. At the moment, the only thing we're seeing on television is one of the two extremes of Muslim responses, and I think we need to assess exactly what has happened and what should be our response. Yes, of course, we condemn killing of innocent people, but it needs to go further than that. We need to actually look at the whole concept of justice, and we Muslims have got a great contribution to make on this issue to vast majority of people, Muslim and non-Muslim, because there is a thirst at the moment, from what I understand and what I see, for justice, and we need to actually promote a concept of justice under Islam, which is actually goes much further than any of these sort of things. And I think for that, we need to come together and discuss it, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.